aboard, you people, the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Off for another day of broadcast insolence. We're about 4 minutes away from the President of the United States making a speech at the White House, mm-hmm. we are told, about immigration, and he's kindly requesting that we take that speech.
Mm-hmm. It's a pre-election speech, so you're sure he's sure to make some sort of a splash. But you said it before, Ro. It's about asylum potentially and the new rules that he may place on who can seek asylum, and depending on how you enter is one of the things we're hearing. Whether you cross the border illegally, does that then make you not able to apply for asylum as you can currently? That may be one of the things he addresses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And there will be some explanation of why that's relevant. It seems that sounds like, oh, well, if you're here and if you came in here and you're not doing it actually at a port of entry asking for asylum, but you're already here, then you must have snuck in and that's not right. The problem is that there are people here. If you just change that whole cloth, there will be people who have traveled here. You know, for a 2 week stay, and their country, and it may not be Mexico or Honduras or mm-hmm. or El Salvador or Nicaragua. It could be China. You find that there's been a change in your personal status in the country from which you came, and you're afraid to go back for a legitimate reason. You know, how do you protect those people? And that happens actually in a lot of cases of asylum seeking. So we'll get to all that first. Yep. Let me do this. Let me get a little bit of business out of the way, and then we will come back and we'll take the president when he speaks here. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, we are awaiting some words from President Trump.
All right, Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, mm-hmm. right now, 720 WGN. We are awaiting a statement from the president at the White House. This appears to be, I'm not sure if this is in the Oval Office or the little area outside the Oval Office. I'm not quite sure where it is. It's a Roosevelt room. Oh, it's Teddy Roosevelt in back of him. I see, on a horse. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now you feel better.
Now I feel better. It's the Roosevelt room. He's going to step out. He's got a little podium. He's got a little glass of water. There is, on a little table.
Mm-hmm.
Next
maybe
to
it's gonna be a long speech. Is that what that tells us?
No, I don't think so.
No, you think it'll be short?
No. And there's two doors he can choose to come from. There's a door on the left and a door on the right. It's a little bit like a game show. Presidential flag, and then the flag of the United States of America, and it all looks really it looks awfully formal.
Hmm. He did present him as brief remarks, so maybe he'll stick to that and talk with maybe less than 15 minutes or so. They only provide the only details we know, unless you've heard more, is that he'll be addressing the illegal immigration crisis, focusing, of course, on this caravan that's held a lot of his attention.
Right.
These caravans, I guess there's more than one.
The many caravans that these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who are coming to our southern border. To swipe a credit card to get in. The amount of money it's going to take to... I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with a relative last night about this thing. And she was saying to me, hey, well, what about these people are coming and, you know, they're going to kill us. And I go, I don't think they are. And there's not that many. I go, I said, what do you think the dollar amount is?
Mm-hmm.
Of moving all of these military folks. You're going to move 15,000 military folks?
That's a lot of people.
Compared to, well, we have to take care of these people if they get here. What's the cost of that versus moving the military people? Right? Yeah. I mean, you got to think about this. What, you know, if this is a cost argument, this is not, cost is not something that the Trump organization or the Trump presidency has ever been concerned about. Right?
I mean, they say
they're high touch.
He wants to build tent cities to house the asylum seekers when they come in this caravan. So, he wants to build structures and keep them there on the border. That would be another expensive proposition.
All right, I believe the president is now stepping to the microphones here. right. I feel...
How are you feeling about that? A little used?
I feel took. I mean, I knew it.
You got took.
I knew I was being took.
Mm-hmm.
You ever show up somewhere and you know you're being stolen, but you want to eat the pizza anyway?
Somehow.
You know somebody's doing something
bad? It works that way. You're just like, well, let me just go see.
Yeah. And that's what happened. The president called for a big White House event that he asked the networks to cover. And some of the networks bit until they realized it's just a campaign speech. He's not really making any new policy changes. He's suggesting policy changes, but he's not saying by executive order, I'm going to do this. He's just essentially saying that what we've already heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's saying it's an immigration crisis, but is this crisis any different than it was several weeks ago, a month ago? Or why now?
Yes.
Well, it's 5 days
yes.
before an election.
Exactly.
And we're talking about
That's
the caravan.
Why.
And if you look at the polls, 25% of Republicans identify immigration as their top issue.
Right.
It's much lower for Democrats. Say health care is their top issue, and there you go.
He did just announce something that I thought was very interesting, that's brand new. There's Caravan 2, Electric Boogaloo. I had no idea there was a second. There's actually a sequel to the Caravan. It's got much, he just said this, there's much rougher people in it.
Young men.
This is very difficult. Mexico's having a big problem with Caravan 2. So I'd like to know what Caravan 2 is. If anybody has any answers, maybe Mark McKinnon from the circus can answer this. I don't know if you were able to monitor what the president was just saying or doing. Were you?
I'm here at the rally where he's going to be. Listen to it on the radio.
So he
strong virile men.
Yes,
you heard that
in Caravan number 2. There's a sequel to the Caravan. I had no idea there's another Caravan and that there will be millions. He said as many as 10 million people coming in, even though there's 3,000 people in the current Caravan. All right, what rally are you at? Where are you currently?
Senate seat here. Very close race between Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley. It's really a toss-up, and Josh Hawley is a very good Republican candidate, former attorney general. And Claire McCaskill, as you know, is a very savvy Democratic senator who won a tough race last time, but did a really good election candidate. She helped take out the better candidate in the primary, which was one of the...
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, hold on one second. Let me see if we can, I know that we're going to have a
the
problem with this.
That's okay.
One of the issues you have when you go into a rally site mm-hmm. is there's a lot of jamming that goes on.
Absolutely.
Creates inconsistent signals for cell phones getting out of there.
And you can imagine everybody on their cell phones at that time. So
right.
That happens at Lala, too. All the kids on the Insta.
So it's relatable. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult.
Might be
so. How do you upload your photos to the Insta?
Well, you have to save it and then do it later, but it doesn't feel as
it's not real time.
Raw.
It's
yeah.
as important.
Yeah.
Once you've thought about doing it, you do it. It's
right.
Like,
good.
I don't know.
And it's hours
passed.
Later.
Everyone posts, "Take me back. Take me back to Lollapalooza." Yeah. That's what the girls post.
I don't know. Mark should be offended by the fact that we're comparing this to Lollapalooza, but whatever. All right. So let's. All right. So you're in Missouri. This is going to be a tight race. What are you hearing right now as we look at this kind of thing nationally about it appears that the House is being given up by Republicans, that the White House and the Republican Congressional Committee, those people who fund that, are trying to move their funding over towards key Senate races, including the one that you're covering right here in Missouri.
Yeah,
uh-oh.
Back at Lala.
All right. Hold on one second. All right. Pick him up. See if we can move his location. If we can't, we'll just do it. We'll do our best here to power through this.
Let's find a landline. Do those still exist?
I don't think
Pay
so.
Phone?
I don't think at the campaign rallies they exist. Well, you go to these things, and there's a lot of different factors that go into it. As you mentioned, there's a lot of people on their phones, but then there's also a lot of radio frequency communications equipment in these rooms for right. broadcast purposes. And then there might be a little bit of security operations there that are jamming the consistency of the phone. So
Yeah.
A lot working against us here.
Yeah, a lot. And it's Mark McKinney. He's from the circus, and the last circus was really good.
So good.
Maybe his hat frequency is getting in the way.
Yeah, you know what?
Tell him to take his hat off.
And his boots. I feel like they might have some sort of magnet in them.
He's just got a great look, doesn't he?
Scarf, whatever he's got going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just strip down and call it a hat.
Yeah, get naked. Here's what you do.
That's how you do it at Lala, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Anyway, so we've lost our way here.
It's interesting.
I think he just doesn't want to call us back now.
The president is still going, by the way.
Is he still giving
he's
his
still
speech
going.
About policy, but really isn't
oh, he's
about
taking
policy?
Questions. All right, hold on. All right, I'll bite.
They were using asylum. First of all, they were told what to say by lawyers and others. Read this statement. You read the statement, and now you're seeking asylum. The whole thing is ridiculous, and we won't put up with it.
President Trump, U.S. law and international law says that people who have valid claims have a right to seek asylum. So
that's
why
right.
would be?
Well,
why would
go
they
to
be?
Court. They're going to go to court. As crazy as it sounds, they're going to go. Excuse me. Ready? They're going to go to court, and a judge is going to determine. But usually, when they go to court, they're deported. It just seems that most of the people are deported once they go. The problem is they never end up going to court because when they come in. They're told to come back in a year for a court case, and they disappear into the United States, never to be seen again.
But the current law doesn't say about holding people.
And they're given deportation notices. We will be deporting those people.
But we're not deportation law, a changing law.
Rock throwing like a Mexican sort of.
We will consider that.
We're trying to find out if there's
the
news here.
Maximum that we can consider that because they're throwing rocks viciously and violently. You saw that 3 days ago. Really hurting the military. We're not going to put up with that. They want to throw rocks at our military. Our military fights back. We're going to consider, and I told them, consider it a rifle. When they throw rocks like they did at the Mexico military and police, I say, consider it a rifle. Jeff?
Yes, separate topic, sir. Did you offer Heather Nauer the job or did you run it back?
No, she's under very serious consideration. She's excellent. She's been with us a long time. She's been a supporter for a long time, and she's really excellent. So she's under very serious. We'll probably make a decision next week. We have a lot of people that want the job, and there are a lot of really great people. But we'll be talking about that next week sometime.
And did you see Oprah Winfrey's comments today?
I didn't. What did she say?
She was campaigning in Georgia at the same time that Vice President.
Don't trash the O.
At the same time as
Vice President. Excuse me. At the same time as Vice President was encouraging people to vote.
Well, that's okay. Look, I was on Oprah's last week, last week of her show. Oprah liked me very much. I've always liked Oprah. You know, Oprah's good, but the woman that she's supporting is not qualified to be the governor of Georgia by any stretch of the imagination. And I'll be in Georgia the next few days. And we have a tremendous around Macon. We have a tremendous crowd already.
All right. All the cable networks are spending so much time talking about this Georgia race.
Well, because Oprah's there, Mike Pence was there. He was feeling bad because he said, "I'm kind of a big deal too. It's not just Oprah; it's obviously a very important state."
Those were his exact words, actually.
Exact words.
Yes,
I'm kind of important too.
I'm a big deal too.
Did he consider giving out free cars?
I don't think he did, and I also don't. And quite honestly, I think Oprah's a bigger deal. I do.
She is. She can convince you to do a lot of things. You think about it. Well, particularly suburban women, which are a powerful voting bloc in this election. But, I mean, Oprah can convince us to eat pizza with cauliflower crust on it. I mean, think about that. You know, you see her new pizza line out.
I think it is fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of under the surface political intrigue in this Georgia race, but it is so interesting that so much federal firepower is being directed at Georgia to raise money and to draw attention into this race between it'd be the first African American woman ever to get elected as governor anywhere in the United States.
Yeah.
But it, obviously in Georgia, it has significance being an old South state that does have something to do with it. But it's not a House or Senate seat that they're fighting over here. It's a governor's seat. Now, there's some statistical arguments that if people come out and they may, if they're going to vote for the Democrat, if she draws more Democrats out, then that's going to be bad for the House seats and all that. That may well be true. But they're not talking about that. They're talking about this race, which, I mean, that's a state case. That's a state rights issue.
It doesn't affect the balance of power in Congress.
Right, in Washington. And I just think that that's it's fascinating. But I think they like the optics of this. I think both sides, Democrats love the optics of this because it's a black woman running against a white man. And I think Fox News loves it because it's a black woman who's running against a white man.
It's a dead heat. It's, you know, the 1 point separates them, I think, at the latest, the last poll. So it's one of those to watch. And you've got the star power heading to Georgia to back these candidates because of that.
All I know now is my whole plan for asylum has been ruined by the president.
Why is that?
Because I was gonna go to a port of entry. Uh-huh. I'm trying to wonder if this is the way he wants. If these people come up and they go to a port of entry, he's gonna build tent cities. That's what he announced. Tent cities and put them in the tents, maybe for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about pain for this. Everything is about, we might take your kids, we might put you in a tent for a long time. Don't come up here. Don't come up here. Don't come up here. And when this caravan shows up, would you like another prediction? Because I told you Heather Nauert. I gave you that one.
You did predict that.
Here's another prediction. When it turns out they're just this thing dwindles down to hundreds of people at each port of entry, splits up and goes, you know, kind of moves around before the young virile men get here in Caravan 2, Electric Boogaloo. The president is so worried about.
I hope they don't steal the women.
When the women holding their babies, you know, come in. He will say, because it'll only be a trickle by then, he will say, see, I scared them all away. These guys were coming. The Incredible Hulk was coming. He was coming along with King Kong and El Chapo.
Right.
And they were all going to break into the United States, and I scared them away because I moved 15,000 troops. By the way, the Pentagon today explained what those 15,000 troops are doing.
I think it's support roles is the way it was initially.
All support roles. These are not, and these are the words that were used. These are not trigger pullers.
Mm-hmm.
The president, though, was exhorting the police to fire live ammunition at people throwing rocks at him. But that was just a few minutes ago. That's just fine. But that's not what the U.S. military is going to do. If Border Patrol would like to do it, then I suppose that'll be on up to them to make that decision. But the military these are people who are logistics and transportation folks.
Right.
And construction folks. That's what those units are that are moving down here.
15,000.
The Secretary Mattis was addressing this today, wanted to make it totally clear what we're dealing with here. So that reasonable human beings such as ourselves can stop and think, oh, okay, all right, well, that's good. I suppose.
He's denying it's a political stunt. He was asked that question outright.
His military doesn't do stunts. That is true. Well, but the military has been used as a pawn before, though. And they've been used for political purposes before. All right. But what they do when they're actually doing their thing, they do what they're supposed to do. All right. Let's quickly let us now check in with Judy. Find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
As you've been hearing, just days ahead of the crucial midterm elections, President Trump claiming the U.S. is being invaded by illegal immigrants.
It's a big weekend for Northwestern Athletics, and the powerhouses will be on the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 7:10. Coach Fitz and Coach Collins, both with Steve to talk Cats. Go Cats.
Judy's News in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, coming your way in 2 minutes. It is Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tonight's the big night.
Yeah, big stuff going on tonight.
Party.
Everyone thought yesterday.
Thursday night football.
Is today a special day?
It is Judy Pilek. Ooh, it's your birthday.
It's my birthday, and I'm going to eat if I want to.
Are we going to get a bottle of bub in the club?
Bub in the club, babe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell
bottles.
You when I tell. So every person I tell where we're going to eat tonight is so jealous.
I know.
And they all ask to come with, and I say,
nope.
Sorry.
No.
There's
no.
a list. You're
There's
not.
A list, and yeah. there are no reservations, yeah, and have, no.
Yeah. We always do the nicest thing for Judy's birthday.
You
here.
Do?
Yeah,
why is that?
Yeah, last year he had, like, Emeril Lagasse coming to his house to cook some amazing feast
Crazy,
for us.
Crazy, right?
It's like some guy in Rose Kitchen just cooking up the most delicious meal ever.
It was so good.
This is my buddy Emeril. He's going to cook Judy dinner for her birthday.
That was, like, that's magical. About right.
I just really mentioned was. That maybe I wanted that done, and boo, It happened.
Yeah.
Because I think he knows what would happen if it
you
didn't know, happen.
Right. Because I'm afraid of Judy.
Yeah, you are very, very
I'm not afraid of anybody else on this program, but I'm afraid of Judy. So when it comes down to it, Judy gets the best stuff.
She does somehow.
Right. I mean, this is exactly, this is kind of how it works. It's it's political extortion.
Yeah. This is the way the world works now.
Fear
threaten
is a
people.
Powerful, powerful tool.
I've heard that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
Don't experience it. You don't want to.
All right. So tomorrow we will discuss in great detail what happened tonight. It's a bit of a thing.
Details and exaggeration. Sometimes we don't remember these things.
Yeah, I won't be here tomorrow. So
you're not. You're
I'll taking be listening. Friday?
Oh, she's because it's her because it's she's Friday. 16 years old. It's her, she has to take her birthday up.
No,
I'm not coming to school today because it's my birthday.
I swear, I'll be at school. I have to go to Iowa for my last parents' weekend.
Oh, all right. Well, that's,
I know.
Okay, got it. That's
right.
Fine. Which is really funny when Judy does this. For these last 4 years, Judy's been doing this in Iowa.
Yeah.
And Judy comes back, and I go, well, so how was it? And she goes, what do you mean? I go, well, you know, it's your son, right, at Iowa? How's your son doing? I don't know. I didn't see him. She just goes, and she hangs out.
Iowa City is party city, let me tell you.
And all the parents, do you know a lot of the parents? Like, do you all get together? And
I know
it's
a lot
a party?
Of frat boys.
Oh.
You can call me Mrs. Robinson.
As you can that imagine. Is a line, an actual line that Judy uses and has used in front of us, even with a
they
celebrity
all think
guest
that's
one time.
My name.
Because do they
and
understand
they don't get
it?
The reference.
Dude, when's Mrs. Robinson coming back?
Hey, wait,
that was awesome, dude.
Fun. Are you Tommy Robinson's mom?
Tight. Mrs. Robinson's the coolest, man.
Oh, I come bearing gifts and whatever.
Here, kids,
you know,
have these gummies.
The house and, whatever they need.
Yeah, she's their gummy supply.
I love this song. It's my mantra, man. Yeah.
I always think of sweaty men.
This plays. She goes and drops a 20 to the DJ to play this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have it. Just find it on your iPhone and play it.
And I dance by myself on the dance floor with a cigarette in one hand and a martini in the other.
Right. Just wearing a camisole. You're like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Why is she doing that?
I'm gonna put
oh,
my
Mrs.
Slip
Robinson.
On. It's awesome. Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than
you will know. Yeah, there you go.
Dude, you have the gummies, Mrs. Robinson?
If that's what it takes.
Oh my.
Usually liquor's enough.
Yeah, now kids, know. Be a little careful because Mrs. Robinson just got a new hip.
Does it ever embarrass your son when you act like that, Judy, or is he totally okay with it?
Oh, my son? I don't see
him. Yeah, where is he? He doesn't even go to Iowa. He's at Iowa State.
He graduated. Wait, why are you there
like
again? I forgot.
Thing.
I thought it was parents' week.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
it's a totally
confusing.
Different deal.
Oh, we're all kidding. Of course I'm going to... Well, I am bringing beer and wine. He asked me to for the soiree at the frat house.
Whoa, getting crazy.
I would not have just publicly acknowledged that
well,
because in case something goes wrong at the soiree.
It's for the parents.
Oh.
Yes,
oh,
the frat house, okay. they do a dinner for us, very nice, and then we just...
It's parents' weekend. That's why
it's
not just
frat.
A regular
weekend.
Yeah, it's
not for the university. It's the fraternity. And by the way, my son is 21. Just so
there a so you're gonna get spaghetti and meatballs at this frat,
yeah,
like gigantic fats.
Yeah, I will say after 4 years I have found that I now bring my own wine glass so I don't have to drink out of a paper cup.
Yeah, solo cup.
Yeah. Solo cup.
Not the best
red.
Hygiene at most fraternities.
You want red or blue?
And
not red or white.
And sometimes at the tailgating I see parents. I'm like, hey, where'd you get that glass? And the mom's like, oh, honey. I've been doing this a while. This isn't my first rodeo.
I've been coming to these things for 10 years.
I
don't have kids here.
Kid at Iowa.
And I always respond with, well, I'm Mrs. Robinson, so huh.
Next thing you know, we've got Judy wearing the herky head, like in a bar dancing. What is that?
I am so good when I go. I don't embarrass my son would kill me if I embarrassed him.
Right,
so.
Well,
he's a little bit like you, Ro.
Yeah.
It would not happen.
Yeah, all right.
One time maybe, and that would be it.
Okay. So, all right, well, good. Well, congratulations.
But I'll be listening, and I'll call in, and I can jump in.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we say. We may not want you to jump in. Depends on what we say about this.
I can see Jeff not taking my calls.
Right, now, yeah. Or Jeff go, oh, hold on a second. And then picking the phone back up and going, you know what? We're really tight on time. If you could just, we'll talk about it Monday, okay?
Yeah.
Can wait till Monday.
I know where you all live, so let's keep it clean, people. Especially you, bro.
That's unfortunately true, yeah. They all know where I live because they all want to make that their second home.
At least the architect.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I spend the night tonight if I drink too much?
I already have somebody spending the night tonight.
Wow, yeah. Do tell.
I already do. So my spare bedrooms are already accounted for.
Aren't there like six spare bedrooms?
Like you have a lot of room. I'll take the other spare room then.
All right.
You'll have to get all the frame pictures of me that I placed on the bed as I'm deciding to rearrange them out of the way.
Sure, I'm sure that's why they're there.
Yeah, no. The one of the reasons we're going to this restaurant in the first place is a guy who used to work for this program many years ago, who is coming back into town to take part in this goodbye, farewell moment to this particular institution and to celebrate Judy, because he's just a gigantic Judy Pilak fan.
That's part of it, too.
That's the really the right. most important sure. thing. Just keep telling her that. And so he's going to come in and he's going to come to our little soiree nice. Tonight. He's very dear friends with our production team and myself.
Yeah.
And so we're all going to get together.
It's going to be fun.
And he's decided he needs to spend the night.
I don't know how we topped last year's though. Soiree.
Well, I have never been to this place, and I can't tell you. Everyone is just so jealous, and
when they find out that you're going there.
Yes. So yeah. I'm so excited.
All right. Well,
it's hard
tomorrow.
To get in.
We'll explain the whole thing tomorrow.
All right.
Explain the whole thing tomorrow on this program.
Without Judy.
Yeah, be fun. Right, and then we can all tell stories about
things. There'll be no stories about me anyway.
Things Judy said after one glass of wine, two glasses of wine, three glasses of wine, four glasses of wine.
Maybe we'll play audio.
Glasses?
Yeah. Take some tape.
You mean bottles, I hope. It is my birthday. Bro, the other day was like, white or red? I'm like, both? Duh.
God, I can't wait to eat tonight. I've been just scanning the menu all day.
I know.
Ooh,
I've been doing that. Honestly, I've been like saving up too. I wanted to eat Halloween candy and I just stayed away from it.
Kevin's been intercomming me. I'm like, I haven't had lunch yet. Stop asking me about the menu.
I'm like, oh man, check this out.
All right. All right, kids.
I get very excited.
All right, hold on a second. We have to get back to doing our job.
Okay.
Kev's got an extra half hour of his job today.
That's right. Oh, no big deal. We've got kind of the no man's land from 7 to 7:30. And they're like, Kevin, you got to stay for an extra 30. So fine, I'll take a bullet for everybody and do it. So I'm going to be a little late to your party, Judy, just so you know.
I will save you some appetizers.
Okay, thank you. Their appetizers there are awesome.
Oh, great. And would you like a grasshopper?
Oh, they have I love grasshoppers.
Someone told me those are on the menu.
What?
And then I would like to end with that Cherry's Jubilee.
Hey, wait a second. A grasshopper?
Grasshopper?
Yeah, no, I guys have been looking at the wrong place.
Do they have grasshoppers?
I thought you meant a grasshopper
for good luck. This place does not have grasshoppers.
Is it even the grasshopper drink or
drink,
actually grasshopper? Oh,
yeah. What is a drink? What is a grasshopper drink?
Oh, look at
drink?
These two millennials. They thought it was a real grasshopper.
Well, so did Rose.
Because the millennials eat the bugs now.
They're so delicious and healthy.
I'm sorry. I'm making grub worm mead.
Right.
Gross.
Oh, it's mint flavored. I'm out.
Okay. All right, can we get back to the show, please?
Yeah, we can. Isn't
party
it national
tonight?
It's National Vegan Day too, so maybe we should eat something vegan just to sort of celebrate that.
Is veal vegan? And then I'm in. All right, nope. Judy, here you go. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, a man who sold the handgun used to kill a Chicago police commander goes to jail.
Hidden for decades on the top floors at Macy's, a secret stash from Chicago's past. See the treasures of the Marshall Fields archive tonight at 9 on WGN-TV News. That sounds really cool. I want to know.
I bet the Frango mints are stale, though.
Yeah, they do get stale because I've kept them around for a little too long in the past. And
yeah.
You gotta put them in the freezer.
Yeah, my grandmother used to keep them for decades at a time.
She offer them to you every time? It's the same box?
She threw them at, like, rocks, and then, of course, Border Patrol shot her. That's how we lost Grandma.
Oh.
Too soon.
Yeah.
She had a good run.
Never for Grandma.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, she died 22 years ago. It's all right now. Family's over it.
Oh,
we're okay.
That's good.
We're gonna get past this, we said.
Nice.
All right. Where was I? We were someplace particularly
Judy's
important.
Birthday.
Oh, the Connors. Did you see this story?
Yeah, you mentioned it.
The Roseanne reboot?
Mm.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh. It was beaten in the ratings by everything.
Fell 25% in its second week.
Yep. By everything. NCIS, The Voice. That was it.
Yeah.
Done.
So the Connors, without Roseanne Barr, apparently it's not the show that it was. I mean, you just feel for the cast because they're really, really talented people on that show. And that's too bad.
ABC has ordered only one more episode.
They had a good run.
Was that the second or third? It was the second or third, I think. Third. Yeah.
Third one.
Yeah. It was down significantly in the second one, and then, you know, forget about it.
Have you ever heard of a network ordering one episode? I guess that is... Are they saying it's going to be the last?
ABC has ordered one extra episode to the original... Oh, to the original order of 10.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they ordered 10, so they're going to have to just muscle through this to get to where they got to get. And then they're going to have one more, and that sounds like it's possibly going to be the finale.
Right, they just need the last one to wrap it up.
The entire family succumbs to opioid abuse.
I honestly haven't watched it. Have you watched it? Anybody on the show?
I never watched the original, the reboot, the whatever.
I'm not sure I got into the original either. But
Variety is reporting that John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert are each being paid $375,000 an episode.
It's a lot of cheddar.
Yeah.
Lacey Goranson and Michael Fishman get $100,000 apiece. And the kids and DJ's ex-wife, who they have good contracts. They don't say how much they are, though. That's a lot of money every week. And that just counts the actors. That's not the whole production staff and all the rest of that. Right? Directors. Connors has been added to Roseanne's syndication package eventually because it can never reach the 100 episode number that...
You need to in order to get the syndication?
Yes.
Or the real dough? Although that's real dough.
This is that Tom Werner guy who did this, Carsey Werner. That's the company that did all that great stuff in the 80s into the 90s. And Tom Werner bought, you know, he banked all that money and he banked it into the Red Sox. So he's one of the owners of the Red Sox. So congratulations to him. He just won the World Series. But on the other side, you know, it was really great. You won the World Series, but now you're going to have to bury Roseanne again. So there's that that just happened.
That was a good effort. Good try by ABC.
Yeah, really. It was this production company. I don't think it really was. I think it was just a situation where
they tried to make something happen,
and then they made it. You know, people just saw the one clip from it. You know, where they kind of wrap it up into this deal. And she was the reason that people watch that show, right? It was like being the White House without Donald Trump. No one would pay any attention anymore.
Or even Jerry Seinfeld without Jerry Seinfeld. Right. You have a very talented cast.
Can't do it. Judy's news coming away in 2 minutes. Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Yeezy's in the news. Yay.
Kanye.
Yay.
Yay.
Yo. You know, he retired from politics yesterday.
He's going to stick to artists, his art.
He doesn't want to be used.
Right.
Because artists are never used.
Right, exactly. By producers or distributors or anything like that.
Networks, tried. Companies.
Never happens. Anyway, the point is that his retirement from politics, although he did make a donation to the lady whose name I stole, cannot pronounce.
Emra Enya.
Prince of Mukamara.
One Enya. Of, I think, 18 people running for mayor currently.
Well, let's say they want to run for mayor. No one's officially running for mayor yet.
18 legitimate candidates who likely will be on the ballot. I mean, they're probably a lot more.
Will likely apply to be on the ballot. There is no way in hell that 18 candidates can get on the ballot to get 12,500 verified signatures that are not signed by other people. It's just not going to happen.
There's a lot of veterans in that group. I don't know. Don't you think most of them, who wouldn't?
This is the problem. You've got 18 people all trying to get about 30,000 signatures, and that's going to be very hard to do.
You can sign more than one.
No, you cannot.
You can sign more than one, can't you?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive. That's the issue.
I didn't know you could. I thought you could sign.
Have you signed more than one? You might want to turn yourself in right now.
You'd be surprised at all the Halloween festivities in the parks and everything when I was trick-or-treating, doing those little trick-or-treat events with my daughter. They had so many politicians canvassing and their people.
Asking you to sign.
I had so many requests, and I think I did sign more than one, but they weren't all mayor. They were aldermen, some other things.
Right. You can only sign one per office. So you can sign a mayor and an alderman, but you can't sign if for the mayor's race.
So then they both get stricken? Because you can't give credit to one candidate.
Correct.
And not the other.
Right. Now they got to find that. But there's like C's and C's and C's of lawyers. That's where guys like Bill Daley, who's a self-funder, and others will have an advantage, because they're going to have enough people who can try to strike other people from the ballot. And somebody who is a relatively low-funded and not a newcomer, because she's run for other things, but Enya?
Amukurara.
Emra.
Emra?
Enya.
Enya. Emra Enya. This is like when I had to introduce my son-in-law to my family, who's got a very long name, and we had to do it all very phonetically.
Like a drawing board.
Yes, exactly. I just a big whiteboard and when I was, and a pointer. And I just did that. And here is his name.
Did you practice it?
Yes, we did. Although to this day I still can't spell it. I hate to admit it. I have to look it up every time.
When you addressed his father, did you call him Mr.?
Oh yeah, the long I got name? That part.
Okay,
yeah. Although I kind of botched it a couple of times in the wedding speech when I was thanking the other family. You know, it was weird. Anyway, the point is yes.
Point is that was weird. Back to the point. That was a weird sidebar. Yeah.
The point is this: that all of these people who are running here are going to, you know, you're going to end up with probably six or seven candidates.
Well, there'll be a shakeout. Some of it will just be people will back other candidates.
Right.
Some sort of alliances created. That always happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to, it's going to be, this isn't even where we began to talk about this. But
no,
let me just tell you right now.
Back to Kanye.
Is that Enya.
That's her last name.
I mean, Miss Enya.
Mm-hmm.
Amara.
Amara Enya.
Amara Enya. Because I don't know why I'm having trouble with this.
Because it seems like the same first and last name. It's like backwards forward thing.
Yeah.
Amara Enya.
Yes. Amara Enya. I think she's going to, she's got the money from Kanye. She got the $72,000 she needed in part for this. Mm-hmm. Right? Because she also had to pay off some fines from last time she ran for something and it didn't, you know.
She briefly ran for mayor, I think, in 2015, and she didn't file all her election paperwork. You're supposed to do quarterly updates, and she got fined for that. So Kanye paid off that, I think it was exact amount.
$72,000. And now he just gave her another $126,000 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's out of politics, he said. And there may be a reason for it that Showbiz 411 is reporting that he's got a new line of Adidas coming out for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the current Yeezys are not selling.
Because they're too expensive. The Adidas ones are good. Those are less expensive.
It's like $120 for the ones that look like, or anywhere from $120 to $200 for the ones that look like Yeezys that Adidas does. Yeezy Inspired, they call them?
Yes, Yeezy Inspired.
And then the actual Yeezys?
Are like $1,200.
They're a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot of cheddar.
$1,200?
Yeah, and that's
they're so ugly
end.
Too. Why do people buy shoes?
What are they made of?
Gold, solid gold, solid gold,
suede.
Just a brick of gold.
Actually, you know what
feet. They
are? This is the damnedest thing. They're basically, you know, big puffy pieces of really easy to manufacture. Nothing. I mean, the cost of each shoe is like 6 cents. I mean, it's like nothing.
So why did he make them so expensive? Because he's a man of the people.
Yay. Yeezy.
Again, the Yay is his last part of his name.
I can't get it.
It's Yeezy.
Amara Enya.
You got it.
Please step up.
Amara Enya.
It's like at the spelling bee.
Anyway, the point is, he also has, this is really going to confuse me. On November 23rd, he's got a new album dropping called Yandy.
Oh, no. Now say all of those. All of those. Start with the candidate for mayor.
Amara Enya. Backwards. Yeezys, yay, Yandy.
Nailed it.
Oh, wow, actually, darn that's good. More confusing
it.
Than I thought.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. You try it. Oh, you guys, that's so easy over here, huh? Anyway, the point is.
That's a good drinking game to play at Judy's party later.
His prior album, Yay, or do you say Ye, Y-E? Is it
no,
Yay?
It's Yay.
Yay. Yeah, his prior album, Yay, was a bust. Yandy actually has to sell copies. And right now, he's lost his base in the black community. And the white community is like, I don't really think I can afford these shoes at $1,200. I mean, I like them and everything, but people don't know what they are, and I paid $1,200. I think I'm just going to go to the Ariana Grande concert. I feel sorry for her.
Because she broke up with Pete Davidson?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why. Yay sold 60,000 copies and 250,000 all in with streaming. So that was, you know, another 190,000. And that's not what they needed to do.
Kim's,
you know,
not going to keep him around if he's not making the
no,
dough.
No, I mean, you can't tell. I mean, you know, Kim literally blows her nose in Kleenex and sells it for, and sells a million copies of it if she could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Puts her name on it.
He better pick up the slack.
A new article in the trade paper Footwear. I didn't even know there was a Footwear News. Is devastating to Kanye's sneaker brand, Yeezy. The article cites a study done by Spotted and says that Kanye's behavior has also had a large impact on the consumer's perception of him. They see him as wacky.
No. And they didn't think that before.
Not at all. Not at all.
He's just trying to sell shoes here, people. At $1,200 a pair.
I mean, Adi Dassler, the guy, the Adidas guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, long dead, but he was pretty wacky, too. He was designing the original Yeezys for the German army in World War II, you know, so that was like, there was that. But we still love his shoes. I mean, it, you know, it turned out, he was very sorry about all that stuff that went on. Mm-hmm. He wasn't on their side. And he went on to make this, you know, incredible international brand. And then there was Puma. I think that was in his family. His brother or cousin or somebody started that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You actually know a lot about shoes. Are you a subscriber to that magazine?
I am. I'm actually the contributor. Yes. I'm the editor of Footwear Daily.
The ghost editor. Yes. No one knew until now.
It's my other thing. That's what I do in the mornings.
Have an unbelievable collection of sneakers and
shoes. How many shoes? How many pairs of shoes?
And I'm surprised Violetta doesn't know all about that since she's gone through your whole house.
I do. I've actually mismatched a couple of them, but he hasn't noticed yet. Because they're so similar.
How many pairs?
I want you never to be in my house again.
That's why you're holding the party later.
Well, yeah,
that's why I'm never holding a party in my house again. Because otherwise,
your closet is amazing.
I literally assigned a person to her during our summer party at my house. I'm like, all right, you stay right with her.
Like, I don't know how to ditch people.
If she moves to her left or her right, tackle her. I'm telling you, I'm going to call Jim Mattis and find a way to secure you at these parties.
No,
I have a lot of Adidas, a lot. I don't know. You know what happened? You know, it's like when your parents told you you couldn't have them when you were a kid, and now I've gone over the top.
And now you can, and you're just going crazy.
Yeah, I literally have a problem. I go on the website
after like three bottles of wine
at night, late at night. Actually, it's worse when if I've been drinking, I fall asleep. I try to only drink a couple nights a week and then stay up the other nights a week and buy Adidas online.
That's so crazy. I like to go in store. You prefer online?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, their online stuff is right. Because you can make your own.
Oh. The Rocon
special.
And
how much are those?
The same. Maybe $10 more. Like $100.
$100.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I tried doing that once with Nike and I got like baby shoes back. I'm like, I mean, I have a small
foot. Don't you wear baby shoes?
These are really small. I tried them on. I'm like, gosh.
Anyway, where were we? Oh, Kanye. His problem here is that he's seen as wacky, edgy, and he has high negative qualities. So Adidas is now afraid of him. His record label is now afraid of him in terms of sales here.
Not President Donald Trump is afraid of him.
Right. President Donald Trump's like, don't ever have that guy back in the White House. This is what I get.
Who the hell was that guy?
Thank God I was just quiet.
The guy with the hat? He was really into me? Bring him back.
I just want him to come in here and tell me how Kim is.
Actually, just send Kim.
Wanted to give him a note to get to
she's
Kim.
In trouble today, too. Did you
she
see
is?
This?
Yeah. She
all is. Right, on the other side. I can't believe that we're discussing this now.
Oh, jeez.
What is going on?
We need a breather.
Yeah. All right, but there is trouble with Kim Kardashian today. She did something bad on Halloween. We'll explain, but first, Judy, what's coming up?
The president says rocks equal guns.
Then there's this.
It is Dean Richards. He's going to take the sit-in with Steve Cochran show tomorrow. Oh, actually, he'll be live from L.A. tomorrow. 8:10 checking in.
Maybe he's hanging out with Yeezy. Oh, no, Yeezy lives here.
He's here a lot.
Or is he Yay?
Yay?
Anyway, Kim Kardashian is in trouble. She did a bad thing.
Oh, jeez.
And not bad in the good way where she normally does.
Oh, jeez.
This is just a dumb thing.
Imagine if the kids saw this.
No. That's not the same thing. She didn't do that. Oh, okay. She's done that before.
Okay.
No.
Good.
She, for Halloween, she dressed up as Pamela Anderson.
That wasn't the bad part.
No. And it was actually very compelling. It was... She looked just like her, yeah. Oh.
Did Kim Kardashian get... Well, never mind.
Enhancements?
Yeah, like her boobs look different than normal. They look very fake. Like, faker than usual.
Yeah.
Don't they look very fake, like Pam Anderson's boobs?
Well, in that picture, they're definitely pushed in a certain
position. Well, I know that. You can do stuff with the bra and everything. But I'm saying, like, they just look differently.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
The density looks a little different.
I just need to point out something. I'm going to write this down as a medical segment because just to get us out of trouble. You know, I have to do paperwork after the show. And so I'm going to write this down. The show discusses Pam Anderson, a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is... Kim Kardashian, yes. Anyway, she looks like Pam Anderson in this thing. She had a blonde wig on, did a whole thing. It was very compelling. Anyway, point is that a lot of people didn't recognize it, especially younger folk, did not get of her fan base, which, you know, is the 12-year-old girls.
They probably didn't know who Pam Anderson is.
Yeah, but I didn't get who she was dressed up as either.
Exactly what I'm saying. Didn't get it. And they were like, who are you supposed to be?
I thought she was Dolly Parton.
Who are you supposed to be? And then she reacted to those people by calling them the R word. And when I first read it, I thought, did she call them a racist? And then I thought, oh, no, that's not the R word anymore. We're eventually going to get to a point where we're just going to say the A word, the B word, the C word. There's a word. Every letter has a word you can't say.
Right. We can't say that anymore.
So we're going to have to come up with when a letter has two words you can't say, we're going to have to go, are you with A1 or A2? Which one didn't you want to say? So anyway, so she called them the R word.
Just despicable.
And now their mental health advocacy people are all over it.
But she did come out to apologize.
Too late.
Well, and she says that I try to learn from my mistakes.
Right, but she's done this before.
Has she donated money to a charity yet?
Probably.
You have to do that before America even begins to think about forgiving you.
Wasn't there another Kardashian incident within the last month or two of this?
Sure.
Didn't one of the Jenners do this too?
No, Khloe, the one that's married to Tristan Thompson, or has a baby with Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, she did. And she did it in a podcast.
It is really bad. I cringe anytime anybody
says that. She used the word?
Yeah, she did. Khloe apologized on Twitter after she was called out for it and using it in a podcast.
Podcast. So there's that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But then she did apologize, and she says, I try not to use that word. I don't know why I said it. And she wasn't calling anyone specifically the R word. So, her assistant had said, nobody knows who you are. She goes, yeah, R word.
I'm boycotting her.
Yeah, anybody who doesn't know who they are R words. That's basically what the point was here.
No,
that's
who she's dressed up as. They know
that. But that's the issue. That's
I'm
the
boycotting
thing.
The Kardashians.
Because they don't know them. All right, anyway, Judy Pilak. She's standing by. She doesn't have to put up with this stuff right now. It's her birthday in 2 minutes. Rokanjo with Anna DeBlantis right here.
Yes.
It is 7:20. It's WGN. It's, you know.
If you're getting rid of your pumpkin after Halloween, don't forget composting, the best option. Okay? Composting.
Judy Pilak, who inhabits the Northwestern Medicine newsroom.
She's big on pumpkins.
Her birthday today. Happy birthday, Judy.
Thank you, Judy. So much.
Happy birthday, Judy.
Thank you.
Woo, woo.
Happy birthday.
Okay, now that I'm 58, though, I got to be in bed by 10.
Right.
And should be asleep by 4. All right.
Once I go to the bathroom 15 times.
Yeah,
I am still, you know, young at heart.
Her prostate is just, you know, giving her all kinds of trouble. All right, listen. We got a big night tonight planned. You can't screw around here.
We do. Queen Judy's birthday.
Yes.
I've already started drinking, so yeah, on
I
with
can,
it.
I
onward,
can tell.
People.
I can, we also can tell when Violetta starts drinking, too. Because she starts texting us highly inappropriate things.
No, I don't.
Like what?
Well, you've seen on weekends when we get the text from Violetta. Yeah.
I'm much nicer.
You
when
know what
I
she
drink.
Always says? I'm like, can you stop texting at 2 a.m? I'm in bed, and she's like, oh, it came in late. They're out of my text. They,
oh,
it
must have just went
hours.
Through.
That
yeah,
she says it every time.
Slow service,
no.
I guess.
Yeah. Other words are misspelled. Word missing words. Like yeah, sure.
It's like a White House tweet is
totally.
What it's like. Yeah.
Totally. Kafefi. Yeah.
I do. I think it's a Trump tweet a lot of times, yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's Violetta.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're dares from her friends. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
just
they
see
are.
If you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Tell
you know what we need to do.
Yeah, you hey. Just go tell them.
Listen real quick.
Just right. Text it to them.
Here we go. Here it is.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
President today in the White House renewing his vow to stop the migrant caravan heading toward the United States.
It's like an invasion. These are tough people in many cases. A lot of young men, strong men, and a lot of men that maybe we don't want in our country. But again, we'll find that out through the legal process. But they've overrun the Mexican police, and they've overrun and hurt badly Mexican soldiers. So this isn't an innocent group of people. It's a large number of people that are tough.
Tough. That's, by the way, this is Caravan 2 that he was in that
the
little segment
Boogaloo.
He was talking about. Yeah.
He's kind of like our guy Vic. He kind of, those words trail off at the end now.
Vic.
Vic.
He kind
of exhales.
Yeah, he's always done that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's the tough guy thing. That's the New York tough guy.
Yeah.
You don't want to have trouble with me.
I think he's also trying to be a little sexy.
Right. Because that's what, right.
That's what he's called.
Dry it is breathy.
Ugh, it's like I can smell it.
Kafefi.
Oh, God, bro, you got to stop that. Oh,
I can like, feel it. I don't know why.
No, you feel it in your neck.
I bang on
my ear.
Some guy.
Is like,
what's up?
Hold on, there's more.
It's worse than your Ted Cruz.
Mexico has agreed to take them in and encourage them to stay. But they don't want to stay. They want to come into the United States. So this is no longer safety. And asylum is about safety. Asylum is not a program for those living in poverty. There are billions of people in the world living at the poverty level. The United States cannot possibly absorb them all.
That's true. That part does happen to be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, his administration has tried to limit the claims you can have for asylum. Like gang violence under the Trump administration is not something he would like to be approve for asylum or domestic violence, fleeing those kinds of things.
Asylum is only for Swedish supermodels now.
Because to be fair, a lot of the people in the caravan don't want to stay in Mexico because they're afraid
the violence there.
Of the violence there. So even the president says, well, obviously it's not about safety. Well, it still is.
Which is one of the reasons
for many
they
people.
Travel in caravans is because of the protection.
Exactly.
We have no idea who they are. All we know is they're pretty tough people when they can blast through the Mexican military and Mexican police. They're pretty tough people. Even Mexico said, wow, these are tough people. I don't want them in our country. And women don't want them in our country. Women want security. Men don't want them in our country, but the women do not want them. Women want security. You look at what are, the women are looking for. They want to have security. They don't want to have these people in our country.
Right.
And they're not going to be in our country.
You think this is right. About votes, or is it about the
especially
issue?
Suburban women.
Suburban women who are in kind of red-blue districts
counties,
that tended to swing down Democrat.
Lake County, Illinois. Westchester County. Some of those other counties. Counties. Women, I know how to protect women.
Say no more, really.
Right, like he's interested in women. I mean, he's interested in women, but not the same way. It's a different sort of interest. I always said I was interested in women for a different reason, but now I realize I'm interested in for their voting.
Just stop that breathy thing, please. Like, I just feel it.
Oh, can you imagine so this guy is breathing on your neck? Oh, God.
Sometimes I just grab him by the vote.
I was like, whoa, bro. are still alive.
Someone's going to be using that on a
That's a poster. Good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Next to grandmother vote. Okay. Right, Billy? Billy, what happened to you, Billy?
He's popping Tic Tacs.
He's not backing you up on that. Poor Billy.
Billy is still on exile.
Still feels right for Billy.
Right.
How did he take the fall for
right.
that?
I still he got caught in crossfire.
You know why?
Like,
you know why? I'll tell you how he caught. This is how it happened. He did it because he laughed too hard.
Well,
it was the first guy.
It's awkward. What are you going to do?
Well, and it's also his job to try to pull things out of people.
Like, so if that came out now, though, like this deep into the presidency, everyone would have, like, totally. It wouldn't have been nothing compared to when that did come out.
Right.
Because now everything is just like.
No, it's nothing.
You just expect
whatever.
Him to say something.
Yeah, but everyone, a lot of people have taken the fall for a lot of different things.
This guy's
done.
Taking a hard fall, though.
He took a hard fall, though, because he did a fake laugh. See, the problem was it wasn't even that he laughed too hard. It was because he was, like, faking, like, he was trying to fake him to, you know, like, be part of
like
the
I'm
thing.
I'm cool, too.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm grabbed by the phone all the time.
I always pop Tic Tacs before I vote. Always. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because sometimes you just have to kiss them.
Oh. They just want you to.
I'm coming right at you right here with my overly moist lips.
Oh. And, like, super thick.
Number four.
Hello, Georgia.
Oprah Winfrey. I'm sorry. I talked over her. She was in Marietta today campaigning for gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, urging the crowd to make sure they vote.
For all those who paved the way that we might have the right to vote. And for anybody here who has an ancestor who didn't have the right to vote, and you are choosing not to vote wherever you are in this state, in this country, you are dishonoring your family. You are disrespecting and disregarding their legacy.
But are you running for president?
And I want to make it very clear to all the press, everybody, I'm not here because I'm making some grandstand because I'm thinking about running myself. I don't want to run, okay? I'm not trying to test any waters. Don't want to go in those waters. I'm here today because of Stacey Abrams.
She has one enemy, and that enemy is bread. Just remember that. All right.
She's a powerful voice. I don't know. She certainly can get people to get out and vote.
Do you, she's a celebrity. People want to come out and see
her. People are going to change their vote. I don't know if they're going to just vote for Stacey Abrams because of her, but I think sometimes that can be a boost if you already planned on, you weren't sure if you were going to get out and actually do it.
Do you think she practices the way she talks, that inflection? Like, she's I gotta do it.
No, it's just her. It's just natural now.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Do not downplay the O.
Well, the thing is, my generation is not.
I don't think she is as huge anymore. I don't think she's as.
I'm always surprised by her popularity because I'm not a.
I don't know. I don't really. I don't see where she's gonna. I mean, down there in Marietta, Georgia, like this, it's a good celebrity to have come in for you.
Sure.
Right. I mean, I think she does better than Joe Biden is gonna do. But at the same time, I think on sort of a national stage, I don't think she's quite the. She doesn't have the impact because we don't see her every day, except we see her in a Weight Watchers commercial, right? I mean, that's
it. She's got the new pizza out with the cauliflower crust.
Cauliflower pizza. Supposed to be very good.
I bet it is.
The people like it at the Costco.
Even my dad liked it. I don't know.
Cauliflower
your dad
pizza.
Liked it?
Yeah, my dad.
Like, there you go. See,
he's like, I'm telling you, man.
See, she can get people to eat cauliflower pizza.
I'm like, well, maybe it's
just silly cauliflower pizza.
Because
look
Oprah's name is
doing
on it.
In a row.
Yeah,
I mean, he's out of control here.
And
see?
Kevin's dad's eating cauliflower pizza.
Yeah, if you knew my dad,
she
would
changes
never
it
that.
Behaviors.
Rokan, who's that?
All right.
Now I see where to talk.
We'll get back to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news?
Well, the president says asylum is a word too often thrown around by opportunist immigrants. On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics by following the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
Misty Copeland plays the ballerina princess in the upcoming Disney film The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. She made history as the first African-American female principal dancer at the American Ballet Theater. She says it only made sense that they do the Nutcracker and that she's in it.
And, you know, the Nutcracker is so much a part of what we do, you know, as ballet dancers. It's like every, you know, Christmas season, most schools throughout the world will perform the ballet, the Nutcracker. So, but the movie's a bit different. It's not exactly the same story that happens within the ballet. But they kind of created a part for me within the story that's based on the book. So I'm the ballerina princess, and they couldn't have a Nutcracker film and not have ballet in it. I think people would have, like, boycotted.
And every little girl will need to see that.
Checking in at number two. Derrick Rose scored 50 points in a basketball game last night, in an NBA basketball game last night.
Can confirm that did happen.
That happened.
Seriously?
Playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves, taking on the Utah Jazz, who's very emotional after the game because they're like,
is that Derrick Rose?
No, you were still alive.
What does it mean to you, Derrick?
Everything, man. I worked my ass off, bro. I wouldn't have did this for the franchise, the organization, the fans, everybody, man. I wouldn't be able to play the way I play, man. I'm doing anything just to win, man. I play my heart out. My teammates told me before the game, just play my game. And tonight was a hell of a night.
Okay.
Wow, emotional, too.
Very emotional.
Did we see that Derrick Rose here in Chicago?
Back in the day, which feels like it was 20 years ago by
exactly.
Now.
Did he have any injuries, though?
We haven't heard any reports yet.
50 points, though.
It was really incredible. And I felt for him because I think the reason he got so emotional, that was sort of like, well, what could have been? You know? If he could have considered, not saying 50 points a game, but, you know, his career was completely derailed from injuries right after that MVP year in 2011.
Yeah.
All right. Checking in finally at
number one.
Okay. So, did you know this, that Matt Nagy was wired up for the game?
This is great.
On Sunday? People are giving huge reviews to this.
Mm-hmm.
Bears put this up on their website, right? And on their app?
Yeah, all their media, Twitter, Instagram, yeah. Facebook, all that, yeah.
Here he is with Mitchell Trubisky.
Hey, come here. I'm going to challenge you right now, these two quarters, for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Got you.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, sir. Wow.
There was one little problem there, though, because the third quarter, we really kind of sucked. But it was all right. Came around in fourth.
Maybe you didn't hear third. You heard only
I thought you just heard fourth quarter.
Did you say two quarters, Coach?
Wait, because which ones again?
Which ones? Now, wait. Now, did you mean the second quarter,
fourth?
Which I was kind of
I
okay
heard
the
I'm
first
sure
was pretty
fourth.
Good, so the first
was
the fourth? One.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I don't
did
know.
Did say fourth.
Right, but you said
positive.
Two quarters. So you really only need to be good for half the game. Is that right, sir?
If you're a Bears fan, watch it. It's really cool.
Oh, I want to see that now. Yeah. You said that before, and now I'm compelled to do that.
Yes, people are into
really
it.
Cool.
People are into it. All right, I'm still standing down on that. I am not publicly upset with Nagy. I could get there, but I'm not. I'm okay. Listen, they're 4-3. They're going to end the first half 5-3. I think.
The top five at five.
I know you're going to find this really hard to believe.
Hmm. What's that?
Michael Avenatti has released his first campaign commercial for president for 2020.
Is he really running? I know he said he was going to run, but you think he's really going to
You be the judge.
We the people.
We the people
are mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
And we're not going to take it anymore.
Enough with the lies.
Enough with the cover-ups.
Enough with the bigotry.
Enough with the misogyny.
Enough.
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 Our Constitution says we the people, not me the president. Stand up. Join the fight club. Use your vote as your voice on November 6th.
Huh?
I like the we the people line, though. That gets me every time.
Huh?
What do you mean, huh?
Do you think he's running?
It sounds a lot like it. He said he's going to run.
Or maybe he's just encouraging people to vote.
I don't know about this guy.
I know, I'm not sure about this guy either. Is he a unifying force? I don't know.
Who does he know?
That's the problem.
He just keeps popping up like a gnat, you know? It's like, who is this guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you turn on the lights, he scurries across your kitchen floor. Right. It's sort of like, where did this guy come from? Oh my God, my cockroach just doesn't have any hair.
And you know you're never going to get it.
Yeah, he's just back. I
think what they're trying to say here is that they're saying if you can't be weak at all and face off against this president. So you're trying to field candidates that might not pair, you know, well in this kind of bullying style of the president. And Avenatti is able to fight him on that level. But is he an appealing president? I don't think so.
Yeah.
A candidate for president?
Again, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah. And no, he is not an appeal. No. First of all, I'm done with the amateurs. I'm just done.
Yeah.
I'm done. And I don't, and this is the thing, you know what scares me here is that the idea, well, a lot scares me. We don't have enough time to go through the entire list, but I will say this, that what I'm afraid is that the American presidency will never be the same. We will never have an American president who behaves like an American president. Because if you go, Trump won, you're not going to win if you're moderate in your tone and you're respectful to even your political enemies.
Great point.
You actually have empathy for other people, or you fake it, whether you have it or not is irrelevant. You just fake it. You know, you're good at a funeral.
Yeah.
Not making it about yourself. You don't make everything about yourself. You don't make outlandish statements. You actually don't lie when it's politically expedient, which is like every other minute on the minute. I mean, are we ever going to get back to a style of politician as president of the United States who's not like that? And I think the fear is Donald Trump the beginning of a new wave of American politics, or is he a one-off? Is he you know, one guy at one time when, you know, people were just sick and tired of being sick and tired and they wanted a change, and he came in, they're like, well, maybe not, that's not the thing, and now we feel better and we're going to move on.
Right.
Because we should be, this, the crazy thing is that the American economy, it's not all Donald Trump, but he has something to do with it, but the American economy is going well. American culture, by and large, is going well. Believe it or not, crime rates are down. Even crime rates in Chicago, which is kind of hard to believe given the coverage of crimes here, right? And the horrifying nature of things. Even that's down. That has to get fixed. That's a big, big, big problem that we have not begun to address. But in general, American culture and American life is about as good as it has been. We're relatively at peace. We figured out over the last 20 years how to contain and isolate problems and keep them using small military forces to be able to go after them in smaller places. The economy is going well. You know, the technology is the best it has ever been. People can kind of do and be whatever they want in the United States of America, which is one of the reasons that most people want to get into the country. But it's a good thing. And we are so out of our minds. It's such a scary moment at the same time, because we do have a guy who, whether you love him or not, you kind of have to agree with this, that he's making it all about himself. And that just doesn't make, and it's sort of like, isn't it about the American people? Is the American government about serving the people, not about serving a one guy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, what we're left with. And that's the part that gets a lot of people.
Yeah. You wonder if it, Trump, the presence that he is and what you just described, brings other people who are like him into the fray to run against him, thinking that that's the only way to be successful.
Exactly the point, right.
And that's why Avenatti would be appealing, because he can fight him. You know, he's a fighter.
I'm
not saying he's appealing to me. I'm saying even the reason that he's being brought into the fray is he's saying he's able to meet him eye to eye.
Yeah.
I don't think you could win, first of all. You won't be able to do this from the left. Trump was able to do it from the right, because I think a lot of the disenfranchised or disaffected voters that see themselves as conservative or right wing or whatever it happens to be, they enjoyed the battle. They like a more pugilistic thing. They like a tougher guy, and so.
Named Hillary.
Right, exactly. They don't want a tough guy wearing a pantsuit, right? They want a tough guy, you know, and that was the thing. They one, and that's there.
Making my
testosterone
day.
Kind of thing, right? And I'm sick and tired of all these people and their boogie woogie music and their insanity. Wear a tie and shave. That there's people out there who, you know, just found and they like the fact that he'd punch people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is different. This is different because on the left, that's not something that plays. The one guy who's got a shot here.
Okay, who?
Of Democrats who can be as tough as Trump,
mm-hmm.
but also have this gigantic empathy gene.
Who's that?
Biden.
I was just going
to
guess
he's
Biden.
He's not going to live long enough to do this, I don't think, because he's about 110. But I think if he wants to run, boy, that's going to be, the battle of septuagenarians. Biden is the only guy who kind of fits the bill. The Democrats are going to, you know, can be tough because when he's tough, he's also doing it, you know, he does it with a gigantic heart.
No, I'm hoping there's a whole new name that we've never even heard of. Biden's good as the sidekick. As the main guy? I don't know.
I think he's the only guy. I mean, I'm
plus
just saying,
because he's known as the Joe says it, whatever is on his mind, right? Right. So people can kind of disregard stuff. Just
Crazy
like
Joe. Crazy Uncle Joe, which right. was his nickname in 2009, and people
yeah,
might remember.
But he was the vice.
Barack Obama had to invite him into the Oval Office and tell him to shut up because he was, like, embarrassing everybody.
He did have, yeah.
He had
some moments
problem.
There.
Yeah. But now it's a little different. I just wonder, and will Republicans, okay, so like, let's say, let me just give you another scenario. Let's mm-hmm. say that Donald Trump decides he doesn't want to run in 2020 for whatever reason, because his entire family went to jail or something, you know, whatever it is.
He couldn't possibly top the greatest 4-year
right.
presidency run of ever
That's
of all time.
That's what he will say, mission accomplished.
Nothing right? else to do. I made it great again.
Accomplished.
Please don't do
anyway,
that.
The point is... Oh. He will, and so he walks away in 2020. Can Mike Pence win? Because Mike Pence is like the, yeah, I don't know. Does Mike Pence have the toughness? I mean, who is the act that would follow Donald Trump?
You go from giant personality to Mike Pence, who is not
who barely
that at all.
Looks like he has a pulse.
Right. He had to tell people that he was important in Georgia because
he's to tell people he's alive. I can assure you, I'm alive.
I'm a big deal. I don't know. I just think that in terms of I don't think there's any other politician that can kind of match Trump and then still be acceptable to Democrats. I think Biden's the only guy that kind of fits both those. Maybe not enough. Because Trump's going to just call anybody who runs against him everything except, you know, every name under the sun.
Right. There's no question.
And he's going to make stuff up about him. And it's just what he does.
Well, you saw what he did to Elizabeth Warren. I mean, you know, right? Make forcing her to feel like she had to show her DNA. And then that backfired when the Cherokee Nation leaders all said that, come on, this still doesn't prove anything. It just sort of, you know, kind of pushed her into the corner.
Elizabeth Warren
was
going to win the presidency.
Well, but she's someone who certainly was going to step into the fray. She definitely was tossing her hat into the field, and a lot of people thought that's all that move was about.
That's what Republicans were praying was going to happen, because she is eminently beatable, because there's nobody in the business community that wants her. That's the thing. You need to find somebody that... You need to find a Democrat that can play with business leaders. The thing is, you want a guy who's gonna, or a woman who's gonna have, you know, that's gonna be a good steward of the economy and a responsible steward of the economy, which I would argue the president currently is not being, because he's spending money like a sober sailor in this particular case. You need somebody who's gonna be respected by the business community and then still can pretend they have empathy. I'm just asking for somebody to pretend it. I'm not asking for anybody to have it. I just want somebody who sounds like they care about somebody other than themselves.
Plays the part?
Yeah.
Maybe they can talk to, like, previous presidents in movies, like
right.
Harrison Ford.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, speaking of previous presidents, Trump won't do that. Right? He had literally pipe bombs sent to two previous presidents. He's not going to call them. George Bush would have called them. Right?
Yeah.
George Bush gets along with all those people. They all get along. They all understand each other. There's a respect for the office. There's a respect for the previous office holders. There's a respect for the institutions. Trump's whole reason for being, he thinks, the reason he got elected is to destroy all of that. And I don't think that all of the institutions need to be destroyed.
His followers are with him, though.
Well, some followers are with him.
I'm not sure that, the extreme ones.
Until it comes to destroying the institutions that they care about. Right, right now, it's a bunch of people without shoes and who have smallpox and are carrying rocks, you know, coming up through the border. They don't care about them. Most Americans don't care about them. American Democrats don't really care about them either. But they want to use them as like, well, that's a lack of empathy for these poor people who are coming here and they're just trying to, flee this oppression and violence and everything in their homeland. Right. Okay. That happens to all be true. But at the end of the day, Americans aren't really going to go, well, we've got to do something about this. We're not. It's just not who we are. We are going to be selfish about that and about the United States. But there are bigger things. There are other institutions. Right, like respecting the military and what they actually have to do, and not using them as a publicity pawn here, and moving 15,000 people, which he's not going to end up doing, but he's already moved 5,000 people down there for logistics support when you don't need them. I mean, what these guys have rocks, and by the way, as the Pentagon pointed out today, those 5,000 that are going down there are not trigger pullers. They are not. Combat.
Right. Their support and logistics.
Right. I mean, they're all trained to be in combat if they have to be, but that's not what they're going down there for, and they can't actually do it anyway. The United States military cannot shoot people on United States soil who are not armed. This is not an invasion by an organized foreign force. Then it's okay. That's not what this is.
No. Well, you wonder also if it's going to cause a lot more non-traditional candidates to throw their hat in the ring, because you keep hearing like the Bloombergs of the world. You hear Mark Cuban threaten that he might run. You hear Howard Schultz of Starbucks and so many other hyper-successful business types who are saying, well, I can run for president. He did it. I'm not sure that's what's right either.
It's a problem. Everybody thinks they can do it now. And Trump was uniquely talented at this. Uniquely talented.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
There's that breathing again. Gee.
I think it's sexy. If I talk like this, maybe you're going to like me more.
Ew.
Are you going to eat that club sandwich?
It's yours. Take it.
Go ahead. Have half my club sandwich.
No.
All right. Violetta. Wait, first of all, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
The Halloween Nightmare in Hyde Park. So, having trouble at your house? Lou's first call tomorrow morning at 6:20 on the Steve Cochran Show, and he'll solve your problems, because he's Lou.
That's Sweet Lou, though.
Not Sweet Lou.
I need to disambiguate between the Lous here.
This is Lou Manfred.
Are we having
Lou.
Sweet Lou tomorrow? Did we get? Yeah, we got Sweet Lou tomorrow.
Nice.
They got Lou in the morning.
Lou Manfred.
Fix it, Lou. And we got Sweet Lou, who's going to help us. Because he's
our guy.
He's going to help us, kind of making some investments for the weekend.
That spread's moving, Ro.
Because Vic is not available. Although I'd like to get Vic on again. Vic Salerno, our bookie.
He's tied up at the moment. Please leave a message.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Suck, guys. So, hey, someone tied up Vic. We got to get the guys together.
He'll be fine if he talks.
If he doesn't talk, that's when he'll really be fine. Anyway, so we'll make some. What's the line's moving to what?
It's at 10 now. Started at 8.5.
Yeah.
So favoring the Bears.
Yes, but yeah.
10
What's
points.
The spread?
It's the biggest really spread of the week so far in the NFL.
Yeah. We'll explain the spread to her later. Don't explain it to her now. She's a young child. She can't. If we get her into this now, God knows how this ends. All right. Let's check in with Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Coming your way in 2 minutes. Just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life has just begun. There you go. All right, this is a moment I have been waiting for a year. Because I love Queen, the story of Queen, and the story of that era of rock and roll. I mean, that's just kind of when I started to figure out you know, what music was, not the British invasion, the second wave of the British invasion, right? The guy like Queen and Elton John and the Who, when they really started to kick in, even though they were kind of the first invasion, that those bands, Led Zeppelin, meant so much to me. And so when they said they've been trying for more than a decade to make this movie about Queen and about Freddie Mercury. And there was a bunch of fights between Freddie Mercury's estate and Brian May and all these other guys that were involved in this. And it's now out, Rami Malek. I thought, oh, God, I saw that perfect casting for this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. It's going to be interesting because the real, there's a great bio about a book written about this. And what an amazing ride those guys had and how weird it all became. And in his life specifically, how weird it was. And now I'm afraid to find out what they did to the movie.
Oh, because you want it to be so good.
Would you like a review?
Hey, Richard Roper's
here. Hi, everyone.
There just happens to be a guy who can give us a review for the movie.
All right, here we go. Yes, Bohemian Rhapsody. Sacha Baron Cohen at one point attached to the project. As Ro mentioned, it went through a lot of iterations, disputes and everything. And then Rami Malek from Mr. Robot was cast as Freddie Mercury. And he's a brilliant actor who can really be a chameleon. And that seemed like a good idea. Bryan Singer brought on to direct. That was the first warning bell that we should have heard, because he's the guy that almost destroyed the X-Men franchise. He's a very old school mainstream director who knows how to move things around but never necessarily connects with the material. Then we heard reportedly that somewhere in the middle of the project he might have been removed and some other people were brought in, which is almost never good. It's like when you have to go to that middle reliever in the third inning in the World Series. That's not good. Another problem is it's rated PG-13 and
yes,
is Rose and
that.
We're talking
no.
about
it's like
you know, Freddie Mercury would be the first to tell you. He lived an NC-17 unrated life.
Totally.
It had to be at least a dark
totally.
R. So now we know that's all going to be glossed over. But it gets worse, because on top of all that, we just saw A Star Is Born, where amateurs, basically, Bradley Cooper, you know, with a lot of great musicians, did really good, authentic concert scenes. And here we have people portraying one of the great bands of all time. And they're the cheesiest recording sessions and concert sequences. Every bad concert movie where the camera swoops to the crowd, and then we keep seeing the same people in the crowd, and then they swoop to the people in the bar or watching the closed circuit feed, and then they cry during the sad songs. Every cliche about his family, you know, Freddie Mercury came from a Pakistani family, and they're very traditional. They couldn't believe that he wanted to be a musician, let alone change his name to Freddie Mercury and discover the path he wanted to discover. All of that is kind of glossed over. But the worst part to me are the sessions when Freddie and Brian May and the rest of the guys are in the studio, because remember the more cowbell sequences from Saturday Night Live?
Who can forget?
Blue Oyster Cult, you know, was recording Don't Fear the Reaper. They really play like this. Now, here's Brian May, and the guys are in the studio. This is when Freddie Mercury's gotten too full of himself. He keeps getting high and all kinds of other stuff. And he shows up late, and he shows up just as they're starting to create a song.
Stamp to this beat. Come on. Now, I want you to clap on the third beat.
What's going on?
You know if you're on time.
I want to give the audience a song that they can perform. So what can they do? Imagine thousands of people doing this in unison. Huh? Well,
what's the lyric?
Know what happened when they created We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions, but I doubt it was Brian May going, let's clap like this, and then everybody else joins in. There's another scene where Brian May and Freddie Mercury are starting to get into an argument, and the bass player starts going, doom, 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 because they're fighting, and another one might bite the dust. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
But wait, I gotta tell you about the worst scene of the whole movie.
No.
Mike Myers sporting some of the worst 70s facial hair and wig and all, et cetera, plays a big-time record executive, and he's deciding whether or not he's going to sign this new band, Queen. They play Bohemian Rhapsody for him, and the Mike Myers record executive says, I don't like this song. I want the kind of song that teenage boys will want to sing along with in their car. Which, of course, takes us out of the movie, because we immediately think of Mike Myers in Wayne's World as and his buddies singing along. He might as well just turn to the camera and wink. Yeah. And the minute you do that, you're saying, we're not taking the story seriously. We're telling little in jokes, and we're not going to give it the treatment it deserves. One star for Bohemian Rhapsody. And I gave it the one star for this reason. It's so bad and should disappear so quickly. There's room for someone to do it right somewhere down the road.
Oh, that's good.
I can't believe how bad this movie is. It's so bad. Remember Live Aid? Now, we talked about this, too, how that was the you know, this great moment, the Live Aid concert, Bob Geldof. Where were they? In New York, JFK, I think, I want to say. And they were in London at the same time. It was either Philadelphia or
Philadelphia and London.
And the biggest bands in the world were playing, right? McCartney and Springsteen and everybody. Well, according to the story of this movie, Freddie at that point is already not feeling well, and he's estranged from the band. But they decide to do this live show. They actually cut to the control room where Bob Geldof is going, oh, my God, no one's ringing, and no one's calling in to donate to Live Aid. And then Queen takes the stage, and the phones start ringing off the hook. Are you telling me?
We know who the lineup
was. I mean, they raised gazillions of dollars. Right. But you're telling me that Elton John, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, and the rest of them couldn't get anybody to call in? I mean, it's so insulting to the memory of Freddie Mercury, let alone to the audience.
You see, this is not what I wanted out of this.
Let's do it together. Now, everyone, clap.
No, we get it.
I see a really crappy movie in the theater.
Someone's got to go do the Freddie Mercury story, not the Queen story. Because Freddie Mercury's life really is Queen, right? But then he had this other crazy life where he was in love with this woman, and then he decides at some point that, you know, his instincts were for men, and so he went after this this crazy bacchanalia life, like club life, and then he ends up settling down with Disney star Jim Hutton. Jim Hutton. They don't have any Jim Hutton in this movie, I'm assuming.
They change his occupation. There's a gym that then they show him with the real one.
Jim Hutton, I don't know if people remember, like, Herbie Goes for a Ride or whatever. Remember the Herbie movies? Remember that
little
guy?
The car?
Yeah, the talking Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Jim Hutton and Freddie Mercury had this kind of, you know, long-lasting relationship. And then at the end, he goes back to his wife or his girlfriend, whatever she was.
I don't think they ever married, but he bought a house where they lived next door for years. His best friend. She was with him from the time he joined the band that already existed.
Right.
Their lead singer, like, you know, went to go into electrical engineering or something. I mean, they were, you know, a bar band, and then he took the lead. But it was the rest of the guys, I think, were already in the band. And Brian May was a huge contributor, too. But you're right. That's the story. And again, it just glosses over that. And the fact, first of all, they were called Queen. You know, right off the bat, you know, we're Queen. And, you know, there were videos with the all of them in dresses and stuff. They were really pushing the envelope at a time where, you know, some of that was going on, but, you know, he was taking it to the next level. And he was a real pioneer, and he was a fashion icon, and he was, you know, a hero to a lot of people. But also, as he would have been the first to tell you, like, you know, lived a very reckless life and sometimes was a huge egomaniac, which just happens with almost every band ever.
And you want to see that. You want to see that whole arc in his life. And then at the end of his life, he was very thoughtful and soulful about his writings and the other things that he was doing at that time to try to bring, you know, attention. And then there were the other stars of that era that had, you know, that knew what he was going through. Because remember, there was a whole issue about, you know, that there was it was still not a mainstream issue. It was not until years later.
Right.
That you had the, you know, the Magic Johnson thing, where he ended up HIV positive and changing the whole dynamic of how at least America dealt with the issue. Right, it's a little different in Britain.
And very much so. And even performers, even though we would know. I mean, you look at the first time you saw George Michael and Wham take the stage to sing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And everyone's like, oh, all the girls are going to love George. I'm like, are you watching this video?
But then you didn't come out and say you're gay, right?
It wasn't as... And Freddie eventually did. Well, there are a lot of, you know, tabloid reports of the parties and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was only 45 when he died.
And Freddie Mercury never talked about it, right? Did he talk about AIDS?
He doesn't in the movie. Well, the movie glosses over that.
Yes.
I think, he did.
He did eventually, yes.
It's just the glossy treatment. It's just very disappointing. And you just feel from the start it was tone deaf.
Well, Elton John had that problem. Remember, Elton John famously told Playboy magazine. No, I'm sorry, Rolling Stone magazine, mm-hmm. that he was bisexual in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it was like the first guy to come out and say that. And then, and then he had, you know, sort of out gay relationships through the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then he married a woman in the 1980s. Yeah. His career started to go sideways. And then it was one of those things. It was very much like Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah.
When he married this woman, everybody goes, oh, come on.
Blame the woman.
She was like a recording engineer that he met in a recording studio in his coked up 80s phase. And then you're like, oh, come on. And then it was over like 6 weeks later. And then he goes back and then he eventually marries David Furnish and the rest of it. And that's exactly what Freddie Mercury did, too. Freddie Mercury couldn't, I think part of it because of his traditional upbringing, the European fan base is different than the American fan base. And, you know, these are European guys, right? Mm-hmm. They look at this differently. This is a heartbreaking miss for me. Because this is such a great story.
And one of the few honest moments is in the movie is when he says to his longtime girlfriend, you know, when he starts kind of stepping out, and he does say to her, he goes, you know, I think I might be bisexual. And she says, you're not, Freddie. You're gay. And that was actually a moment of insight where you saw she knew all along.
Right.
And she just loved him. Yeah.
Very awesome.
But Rami Malek's a great actor, too. And, you know, they had to do the thing with the teeth, but it's so poorly done. You keep waiting for them to fall out like your kid at Halloween when he comes home from being a vampire after trick-or-treating in the suburbs.
It does look like a comedy
thing. My teeth
like
in
an
anymore.
Austin Powers kind of thing. Yeah. It doesn't look right.
Yeah. See, there's an Elton John movie coming out now, too. In the summer.
You got hope then.
Same. It takes on kind of the early years of him rising to stardom and then almost drinking and almost killing himself with drugs and alcohol. And you just hope that that's. But he made some of the great music in that era.
A little worried about that one.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah.
A little worried about that.
Yeah. Well, yes. No. There's also the same sort of thing. When you have it just proves to you how hard it is. This is why A Star Is Born should win the Oscar, because it is really hard to do a movie that is more dramatic than what we already expect out of the drama and the majesty of these gigantic stadium rock acts.
Well, that's the thing. They were all big movie stars in their own right as rock stars, so it's really hard to play legendary rockers who have filled the screen in our ears forever. Yeah. That's why there aren't a great... When's the great movie about the Beatles coming out?
All right, we're going to find out, hold on, about what's happening on the roadways and everything. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Fewer murders, shootings, and robberies in Chicago.
This week on Chicago's Best, tortillas, spice, and everything nice. CB has the best dishes from south of the border. Chicago's Best Mexican Food, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Richard Roper gives one star to Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen biopic. What? Now, the final installment, final season is dropping of House of Cards.
Yeah, November 2nd, which is obviously, you know, this weekend premiering. And it's 8 episodes instead of the usual 13. As everybody knows, Kevin Spacey is off the show after the horrific allegations against him. So it picks up with Robin Wright, President Claire Underwood, but now she's under siege. And a lot of the returning regulars, some who we haven't seen for a while, are back. And also they introduce a very powerful family, including brother and sister Greg Kinnear and Diane Lane, playing the brother and sister.
Ooh, I love them.
And they're a very powerful family that's buying up a lot of media companies and really trying to influence the election. So there's a lot of kind of real world parallels and all kinds of juicy scandal. It's really good.
It's like Homeland. Isn't it crazy how that series is like right on the nose, like with everything that's going
and
on.
And often very far in advance of some of these events happening.
Well, yeah, when you look at House of Cards, the swamp and everything, Frank Underwood, was doing stuff that was probably a playbook for some people since then.
So you like it.
It's really well done. And if you recall, Robin Wright Penn was sort of taking over even before the scandal with Kevin Spacey. So it was time for her character to be front and center. So check it out. If you're a fan of it, I think you'll be satisfied with it.
Good. Okay. I'm a fan of hers.
Mahershala Ali back.
No comment. You got to watch. Don't give too much away.
Okay. Got it.
He wasn't in the Queen movie, though, so that's good for him.
That's right. Wait, how did they get rid of Kevin Spacey?
No comment.
No comment?
No comment. <He's
dead. laughs>
I think I read the... Did I read
Yeah, that's pretty well. Frank Underwood's gone. Yeah. He's gone. I mean, he ain't coming back.
He's gone.
He's dead beyond dead.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan Leaf is going to join us.
Cool.
You may know that name. Very, very, very great college football player. Did not have quite the same success in the pros. And it's because of drugs and alcohol. And he's now trying to help athletes and others who are dealing with the same issues. And he'll be to talk about it. Do not miss this interview. We've got Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes. Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Stepping into the studio, this is an amazing story, and I really want to thank this guy for being here because this is a big deal. Ryan Leaf is with us, and you might recall Ryan was a great college football player, a highly recruited, drafted NFL player. And his career did not work out the way that had been anticipated. You were drafted number 2 behind Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Who?
Right?
How about that?
What did he ever do?
What did he
you
ever
know,
do?
You know, still?
You know what we know him from? Hmm. Those commercials with the country western guy.
Yes.
That's what we know. He That's where
he
I know
play
that
music.
Guy.
Those are pretty funny. He's in a band. He's in a band.
We're not talented. A band.
We're not a band.
So those are very, very, very good. And now you have an amazing story. Of and especially in this era, you kind of you're sort of an important figure for recovery the right way here. And I don't and it's hard. Recovery is a very tough situation in
right.
drugs and alcohol. And I don't want to be judgy about how people go about it. But there are so many cases of athletes and entertainers, but we'll stick with athletes here for the moment, who get caught up in this world and cannot find their way out of it. And they try to do the sorts of things that athletes do, right? Mm-hmm. To try to get out of it, and it doesn't work for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for anybody. I think that my story differs in the fact that I messed up in plain view of everybody in the public eye. And that's probably what ultimately saved my life, because when I messed up, I was held accountable and there was a spotlight placed on me. There's a lot of individuals that are dealing with the same thing that I've dealt with who are in it right now that are in the shadows and no one ever sees it. And the next thing you know, they're gone. And that's the hardest part. So we have to continue to shine this bright light on what the actual problem is and talk about how there is a solution. And the reason I'm here is because of an event tomorrow night called Above and Beyond in a family recovery center that's holding a second annual gala. And I get to be the keynote speaker and simply just be here to tell my story and be part of the solution like all the people who are attending.
It's a Drake Hotel tomorrow night, by the way. And do people can still buy tickets to this?
Yes.
I'm assuming that is true. All right.
It started with was an addiction to pain meds for you, and was that because of an injury or was it for some other reason? Like where did it all begin?
Yeah, so I was introduced to pain medication. Actually, it's the only drug I've ever taken in my life. When I was in college after having orthopedic surgery. And I tell people now after what I went through that I was a drug addict long before I ever took a drug, and that like competition was my drug most of my life. Mm-hmm. I really believe that the substance was just a byproduct of what was the underlying factor, and that was the mental health issue and dealing with life on life's terms. People sometimes go to a different way to self-medicate. Sometimes it's exercise, sometimes it's foods, gambling, sex, any of those things. They're all mood-altering substances. Mine was what I knew, and when my career was over, and everybody told me what a failure I was and the failure that I felt like, and I didn't address it, that depression or any of those things, with a medical professional. I chose to deal with it in a negative and toxic way, and that was with pain medication that I knew worked. It worked on my physical ailments, and I took it one night when I was feeling that emotional depression, and it worked. It's a painkiller. It removed the pain, and it didn't make me feel better, but it didn't make me feel anything, and that's all I was looking for at that moment.
It was also horribly addicting, right? Addictive.
It can be. I mean, for me, it produced that endorphin high and released that dopamine, the same thing that it did when I would play football or do something energetic or fun, and it was there for me, and I chose that, and that way, and before long, it is taking over your body. It's a psychological effect on your brain chemistry, and you can really become addicted to it after a prescription of 30 pills.
And like so many addicts, you tried recovery more than once,
yeah,
right. And that's one of the things, especially whether you're the person who has the addiction or your family member of somebody who has the addiction, it's very, very hard to understand how hard it is to get through recovery once or twice or three times. People just kind of give up. And you went through that. I mean, you got arrested in Montana, right? Was it?
Yeah, in my hometown.
In your hometown for burglary, because you just couldn't, you couldn't get a fix.
Yeah, I didn't know a drug dealer, and I would go to doctors until that ended, and then ultimately go into friends' house pretending I was interested in spending time with them.
rummage through their medicine cabinet to finally, at the end, looking up open houses in the paper on Sundays and going there pretending I was interested in buying the home.
Wow.
And going through the medicine cabinet. And I'm not a very good criminal, and I was found out pretty quickly. And, you know, my higher power showed up in the form of the sheriff's department and saved my life.
So as you went through that, what for you, because as we said, everybody's different in this. But for you, what was the thing that you were holding on to that was kind of your lifeline?
I had given up all hope, so I didn't really have anything to hold on to. The only thing I could think of was I either had to be numb or dead. That was the two options for me. So being intervened with in the way that the sheriff's department did, it placed me in a prison cell where I would be given the opportunity to make a shift in my perspective. And it didn't happen quickly, you know. It didn't happen until probably 26 months into that 32-month sentence. And it came in the form of my roommate. My roommate was a former Iraqi-Afghanistan war veteran who had done something a lot of people had done in their lives, and that's drive drunk one night, and he happened to kill somebody that night.
Mm.
And I watched him every day make amends and try to better himself, and I couldn't figure it out. I just said, look at us. Look where we're at. You know, we're losers. This isn't going to make things better. And he finally had enough of it one day, and he confronted me about it and told me how I had my head buried in the sand and how I had more value than this, and not only to the men in there, but for when I got out.
But you were clean when you were in, right? You had to be.
Well, you didn't have to be. I mean, there's
drugs
plentiful there. I don't know why I didn't. I can't answer that. It was the perfect opportunity. I laid around on a bed, watched a little flat screen TV at the end of my bed. I could have just been high every day. It would have been exactly what I was doing on the outside, I guess.
That's interesting.
I don't know why I didn't. I can't tell you why. I really can't.
But you chose not to. Now, was that, and were you doing, while you were in, were you doing classes and programs?
I didn't do anything for.
Just couldn't.
It was perfect. Around it. It was right. I had zero responsibility. You know, people told me where to go, when to do, you know, I sat in my room, I got fat. I just thought this was my life. That's the scariest part about prison, that you're just resigned to the fact that this is okay.
Wow.
And then you got out, and that's when you decided?
My roommate suggested we go down to the prison library and help prisoners who didn't know how to read learn how to read. And I've had many of those kind of moments in my life where people were trying to help me better myself, and I just flipped my nose at them. And for whatever reason, maybe because the chemical had been out of my brain long enough, I acquiesced and went. And I watched men be vulnerable in a place where you're not supposed to be vulnerable, and ask for help and then accept help to learning how to read. And it changed my perspective. I didn't realize it was happening at the moment, but I came to believe that I was being of service to another human being for the first time in my life. And when I got out, I mean, this just didn't happen from one day. You know, and it was continuous. It was consistency. It was showing up. When I got out, I knew that it was going to have to be at the foundation of what I did. Otherwise, I was just going to be the same person I'd always been.
And that's what's led you into working in recovery as you are, Ryan Leaf. I mean, this is what you do. This is your calling now, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the foundation, right? It's got to be the foundation. It's the rock that kind of keeps my feet in place. But it's allowed me to branch out and live my dreams and my goals, right? I went to college to be a broadcast journalism major, you know. Football was very toxic for me, but because of the changes I've made in my life and the foundation I built, I have a radio show every morning on the Pac-12 network on Sirius XM, and I get to call college football games. I'm involved on that side of things, which makes me happy. But then I can go do things like this where I come to Chicago and simply try to be of service in some way to help other people. And that's, it can be both, you know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that's a great example for everybody who can get clean, get recovery, that they can live their best life.
People want to buy tickets for this tomorrow. It's Above and Beyond Family Recovery Center. It's a fundraiser. It's at the Drake Hotel tomorrow night. It's abgala18.givesmart.com is a place to buy the tickets. Or they also have a website, ANB. Those are the letters, ANB today. ANB.today.visit. Says here. I think what it means is .com or .org. I don't know. We're going to have to get that cleared up. Does anybody have an answer for that?
The best thing to do is probably go to their Facebook page. Yeah. That's the best way to to take a look at it and okay. get informed. And
above
then,
and beyond yep, Facebook page.
Above and beyond's Facebook page.
All right.
There are free treatment center, and that's the difference. In this country, there's a ton of for-profit treatment facilities.
Yeah.
But the fact that this one is not in it for the profit, all the money is donated to make this work. It's very similar to what I do with my foundation, where we raise money for scholarships to pay for treatment for mental health and substance abuse, and our values just matched up, and it was a perfect opportunity to do something together to try to be part of the solution.
Can I ask you a question? Now, you went to Washington State.
Yes, sir.
And Washington State is having a great football year, and they finally made it on College Game Day 2 weeks ago, where the College Game Day showed up on the campus of Washington State, Eastern Washington. To call it rural is really doing a disservice to rural. It's
the middle of a wheat field.
Right. And it's beautiful country around
it's
there.
It's gorgeous.
I had family from there. And Eastern Washington is gorgeous. It's like, sometimes you're like, am I on the planet Earth when you're driving around it, right? And they went to the college town because the Washington State fight flag, the flag for the football team, has appeared on College Game Day on ESPN for the last
218 times.
218 shows. Yep. 218 weeks of this, right?
October 2003 is when they started it. And the reason they did start it was they were trying to make a statement saying, hey, we're going to fly this flag every week at game day until you come to Pullman. And it took it 15 years, but they showed
they
up.
Did it.
And we showed out. I tell you what,
that was an amazing, what a fun. I mean, I love that show anyway, but yeah. That show that day was so great because the people of Washington State, they talked to all the people who'd been coordinating flying that flag around the country, making sure it appeared at all these places, because you don't necessarily know where that show is going to show up until a couple days before.
There's some great stories behind that. Sometimes the flag got caught in postage or in some post office somewhere. We had a pilot who was a Cougar alum. The guy put it on his plane, carried it with him to the next stop, brought it out to there for them to fly it. I mean, it's
remarkable.
Being a Cougar is a different thing. We're the underdog, and it's pretty special. And not only did they get game day, we literally took over college football that week. We had game day all week, and then we performed on national TV against Oregon and really put a beat down on
Boy,
the Ducks.
Did you ever.
So they're doing
that was unexpected.
Well,
I'm sorry.
For others, yeah. Maybe a little bit for others.
I would say for guys who just happened to be watching that or, you know, maybe invested a few bucks, that was a pretty interesting, win. But I think there was all that energy, right? About it. There's so much energy for that program this year.
Yeah, there is. And sometimes that can be overwhelming and the team could, you know, come out and kind of fizzle. They kind of take on the identity of their head coach. Their head coach is pretty laid back. Mike Leach, he's just kind of this pirate that swashbuckles his way along, and I think the team has kind of taken on that identity.
That's his whole thing. You have to think like a swing your sword, yep. Think like a pirate. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. It's almost. I was for a moment there. I thought there was like a whole Disney bit that was going on there, but I didn't quite understand.
Like
but he's
Johnny Depp.
He's really interesting though. But he's it's a good way. It sort of sees the day. Is the idea there?
Yeah, it is. And he's been the right fit for Washington State, and their resurgence. I'm really proud of him. The quarterback right now is a grad transfer who's come in and taken over this leadership position, put himself in the Heisman Trophy consideration.
He would be the second Heisman Trophy considerate since in Washington State history, right? You being the first?
Well, I'm the only one ever to be invited to New York for the ceremony. It was pretty cool. Charles Woodson won it that year.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, now, what did he ever go on and do? Okay, let me think about that for a second. And that Peyton Manning guy that got drafted before you, I can't remember what he did either.
The greatest thing about all this, and I think this is funny, is that I don't know exactly that Peyton and Charles and Randy Moss was the other Heisman Trophy candidate. But 21 years later, I believe they're all pretty content and happy and in a good place in their life. But after all the ups and downs and no matter how our careers went and things like that, we're all in the same place right now. And I think that's a true compliment to what the human experience can be like. Anybody out there who's listening, you stumble, you fall down 20 times. As long as you keep getting up, you know, you can be in a place where you're happy and you're content with what you have. And that's just, I think that's the perfect example of the human experience, and I'm really glad I get to share it with people when I come to cities like this.
All right, we'll leave it there. That's a great way to end it. Above and Beyond Family Recovery Center. at the Drake Hotel tomorrow night. Ryan Leaf is headlining. It's a gala. People want to take part in this. You want to see Ryan. Very inspirational story. Just go to the Above and Beyond Facebook page. Just look that up, and you'll find your way to that. All right, Ryan, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for your bravery in telling your story.
You bet. Thanks for
having
me.
Appreciate it. All right, let's talk to Andrea right now, find out what's happening at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
And Roe, a gun dealer who sold the weapon used to kill Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer, has been sentenced. We'll tell you to what coming up at 7.